In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Father, dear seminarians and brothers, dear faithful, when you're facing off against an enemy, one of the best things you can do is convince your opponent that you're not very powerful, that really he does not have to put forth much effort in order to defeat you. I say that that's one of the best things you can do, because there's even something better than that. The very best is to convince your opponent that there's not even a fight going on, that he can just lay down his arms and stop struggling because there's no conflict. Why are you so upset? Why are you taking up arms against me? There's no fight here. There's no battle going on. There's nothing to worry about. Just let it go. Of course, our major opponent in this life is the devil. And he's very tricky, he's very smart, and he knows quite well how to convince us to lay down our arms and even to get us to believe that there's nothing to fight about. We may say that his major accomplishment in today's world is that he's talked everyone into believing that you don't have to do anything to get to heaven. First of all, he says, hell doesn't even exist. So even the wickedest of people, no matter what they do in this life, when they leave this life, there's only one place for them to go. Since there's no hell for them to go to, there's only one other place, and that's heaven. So they have to go to heaven. Secondly, all paths lead to heaven. No matter what you believe about God, no matter how you choose to worship God, it's all good. All the disputes that we have here below about morality, about what is good and what is evil, really don't amount to much, because we can't really know for sure what is good and what is evil. And so whether you're for abortion or for you're against abortion, whether you think the Ten Commandments are mandatory or whether you think they're just suggestions, we're all going to end up in heaven eventually, in one big group hug with God. And then thirdly, the devil, well, who is he? What is he supposed to do? What's he about? He's got no place to live because hell doesn't exist. And he's got nothing to do because everyone's going to heaven. And so the devil must just be someone who's made up by churchmen who want people to put money in the collection basket. And so at the end of the day, because of these false ideas that are spoken into the ears of the people of the modern world by the devil himself, the vast majority of people today do absolutely nothing to attain the salvation of their souls. They have absolutely no clue that there is an immense struggle going on for their eternal destiny, for the outcome, the eternal outcome of their life. Meanwhile, on one side, you've got the world, the flesh, and the devil seeking to seize on these people, seeking to take their souls and damn them for all eternity. And on the other side, you've got our Lord and our Lady. You've got our guardian angels. You've got the saints trying to get these people to cooperate with grace, trying to niggle their conscience and make them reflect on the real purpose of their life. And these people are just in the middle, just skipping around, oblivious to the terrible drama that's surrounding their immortality. They're not able to stop and think. We all know that if we have something that's very precious, if we just think that maybe, possibly, that thing might be taken away from us, that we might lose it. We've got this big diamond in our bedroom, and we thought maybe it's pretty safe. It's not 90% safe, but maybe somebody might get it. Even if there's just a little chance, we take extra precautions. And so when it comes to your very salvation, the very purpose of your life, going to eternity of happiness forever, or going to an eternity of misery forever, you would think that people would be very careful. So it takes a lot of propaganda on the part of the devil to convince people that it's nothing to worry about. So these people, they don't stop and think. They don't say, either I'm going to save my soul or I'm going to lose my soul. If I save my soul, I'm going to be happy for all eternity. If I lose my soul, I'm going to be miserable for all eternity. And this is a problem. And I've got to take responsibility for it. What is it going to profit me if I gain everything, but I lose my soul? I must save my soul at all costs. I must struggle. I must battle in order to save my soul. And this is precisely what St. Paul is reminding the Ephesians today, that they've got a huge battle on their hands. And a battle that they're not capable of waging. The enemies of this battle are fearsome. And so St. Paul wants to make sure that the Ephesians will not underestimate the devil. He says to them that our war is not against flesh and blood. And by this he means our fellow human beings. By this he means beings with material bodies. Our battle is not against being with material bodies. Our battle is against another class of beings. And he indicates who they are with three different descriptions. First of all, he says that they're principalities and powers. We know that these are two choirs of angels. And in this case, two choirs of the fallen angels, principalities and powers. Those are two choirs that emphasize the strength of the angels. Other choirs emphasize other aspects of the ability of the angels. Secondly, they are the world rulers of this darkness. They're the ones who are in charge in this earth. They're the ones who are dominating here below. And then thirdly, they are the spiritual forces of wickedness on high. They're evil and they're above us. And they're spiritual forces. They're bigger than us, they're stronger, they're smarter, they're quicker. And if you expect to fight such enemies, you've got to bring a proportionate force. And you don't have that proportionate force. You're flesh and blood, they're not flesh and blood. So you've got to bring something that's above what is human, something that's beyond what is human, if you can expect to win the battle against them. And St. Paul speaks of such divine weapons. He talks about the armor of God, and really what he's referring to are supernatural virtues, actions that we perform under the grace of God, actions that we perform that we may say are divine. They come from God's grace. They come not from our natural power so much as they come from a power that God is communicating to us through his grace. The cincture of truth, the breastplate of justice, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and so on. But there's another weapon, also from heaven, that I want to talk about today. It's a weapon that St. Paul did not know about. And this weapon is most effective against the devil, and we could say that it's more effective in our time than ever before. And it's a weapon that heaven itself specifically wants us to use in our fight against the devil. And so heaven has communicated to this weapon a greater power against the devil in our times. And that weapon is the rosary. To indicate to you the importance of the rosary, and so also the importance for you to pray it and have great confidence in it, I have to make reference to the message of Fatima. We know that when Our Lady comes down on this earth and she comes to this place or she comes to that place, and she communicates a message to usually some children, she always gives herself a title. She calls herself by a certain name, a certain one of her titles that she associates specially with that apparition. And when Our Lady came to Fatima, she said that she was Our Lady of the Rosary. The reason why Our Lady took this title is because it's closely linked with her message at Fatima. Here's what Sister Lucy says. She says, "Our Lady told my cousins, as well as myself, that God is giving two last remedies to the world. These are the Holy Rosary and devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. These are the two last remedies," which signifies that there will be no others. The reason why these remedies had to be communicated by a special apparition, why Our Lady herself had to come down ex professo in order to tell us that we need to pray the rosary, is because of an increased amplification of the devil's efforts to damn souls in our time. Here's what Sister Lucy says. "Our Lady told me that the devil is in the mood for engaging in a decisive battle against the Virgin. And a decisive battle is the final battle, where one side will be victorious and the other side will suffer defeat. Hence, from now on, we must choose sides. Either we are for God or we are for the devil. There is no other possibility." And I think we see here why the rosary did not exist at the time of St. Paul. The people back then, they certainly have the devil as their enemy, as we have the devil as our enemy. But the devil did not have as much power back then as he does now. In the past few centuries, in the 19th century, 20th century, the devil has seemingly summoned all of his forces throughout the world, got them organized into a single unified body, and thrown them with incredible force on the servants and the institutions of God. And when the battle becomes fierce, and it seems as if the army is going to lose, as it does today with the forces of good, it certainly seems like there's no hope for the forces of good, what needs to happen is the general has to come out on the battlefield and rally the troops. And so what God has done is he sent his general, the general of his armies against Satan. The general of his armies is Our Lady. He sent her at Fatima to come down and to encourage the good in their fight, but also to provide them the means, a greater means, by which they might defeat the devil, the greater forces of the devil. She wanted to increase their firepower. And so she puts in their hands an old weapon. It's a weapon that we've had for quite a while now, for many centuries now. But she's giving a new efficacy to this weapon. Because the fight is fiercer, the rosary has to be capable of more things than it was in the past. And this is the case. It's amazing, but Leo XIII anticipated this. Because he said in 1894, in one of his rosary encyclicals, "We take the opportunity of pointing out the particular ruling and designs of Providence, which ordained that the rosary should have new power to instill confidence into the hearts of those who pray, and new influence to move the compassionate heart of our mother to comfort and generously help us." So, 60 years later, Sister Lucy said the following: "The Most Holy Virgin in these last times in which we live has given a new efficacy to the recitation of the rosary to such an extent that there is no problem, no matter how difficult it is, whether temporal or above all spiritual, in the personal life of each one of us, of our families, of the families of the world, or of religious communities, or even of the lives of peoples and nations, that cannot be solved by the rosary. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult it is, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the Holy Rosary." One of the painful aspects of the life of Sister Lucy was that she had to watch for many decades the message of Fatima being ignored, on the one hand, in the world, and on the other hand, the church and the world going to ruin as a result of ignoring this message. Our Lady took the trouble to come down from heaven. She took the trouble to communicate to us the means that were necessary in order to fight against the devil and save souls and save the world from total ruin. And people yawned. And the churchmen yawned to a greater or lesser degree, certainly after Vatican II. There was a bit of an effort between, we may say, the 20s to the 60s. There was a very great effort that produced beautiful results. But in the past 50 years, there's been practically nothing. And Sister Lucy witnessed it. We have many letters that she wrote to three of her nephews who were priests during the late 60s and the early 70s. And in these letters, she repeats the same themes. There's three main points that she makes in these letters in the late 60s and the early 70s. She says, first of all, the major problem in the world today is the loss of the spirit of prayer. People are no longer praying. Secondly, the reason why people have stopped praying is that they've been tricked by the devil. They're under a diabolical disorientation. For her, the diabolical disorientation was the devil convincing people that they don't need to pray, that they don't need to do anything to save their souls. This is where that phrase comes from, and this is what it refers to. Then, thirdly, that the rosary was Our Lady's remedy for this diabolical disorientation, that Our Lady anticipated that people would stop praying, and that she wanted to come and emphasize the importance of praying the rosary in order as an antidote to the diabolical disorientation. So let me just quote to you some words of Sister Lucy relating to these three points. First of all, she says, "The decadence which exists in the world is without any doubt the consequence of the lack of the spirit of prayer." The problem with the world, people have stopped praying. Secondly, why have they stopped praying? It's a trick of the devil. She was witnessing Catholics, Catholic priests, Catholic faithful, trying to convince people that they shouldn't pray the rosary. They were saying, oh, the rosary's not liturgical. The rosary's too repetitive. The rosary's this, the rosary's that. You shouldn't pray the rosary. We shouldn't pray the rosary. She says, this is the diabolical disorientation. When people think that it's bad to pray the rosary, they're in a state of serious confusion. And why are they in a state of serious confusion? Because of the devil. Because they've been tricked by the devil. She says, since the rosary is after the Holy Eucharistic liturgy, the prayer most apt for preserving faith in souls, the devil has unchained his struggle against it. And so he's tricked Catholics into thinking that they should not pray the rosary. And she was saying that these Catholics were doing the service of the devil. In 1971, she says, it's sad that so many persons let themselves be dominated by the diabolical wave sweeping over the world, and that they are blinded to the point of being incapable of seeing. Their principal fault is that they have abandoned prayer. Thus they have left God, and without God they have nothing. The remedy for this, for all these problems, is the rosary. It's heaven's antidote to the diabolical disorientation. And Sister Lucy herself, in the late 60s and early 70s, she was composed some pamphlets that she wanted to have distributed, fostering devotion to the rosary, encouraging people to have confidence in the rosary and to pray the rosary. This is what she said about them. She says, "The little pamphlets will remain with souls as an echo of Our Lady's voice, to remind them of the insistence with which she recommended the prayer of the rosary to us,
so many times. She's talking about the apparitions. It is because she already knew that there had to come these times during which the devil and his supporters would fight so much against this prayer to lead souls away from God. People must recite the rosary every day. Our Lady repeated this in all her apparitions, as if to arm us in advance against these times of diabolical disorientation, so that we would not let ourselves be fooled by false doctrines, and that through prayer, the elevation to our soul, to God, would not be diminished. She also gave some advice to one of her nephew priests that I think expresses this confidence that she has in the rosary and her vision of the importance of the rosary at this time. Of course, she's speaking to one of our priests in a declining Christian Europe, a declining Catholic Europe. And she says to him, "Enlighten the souls entrusted to you and recite the rosary with them every day. Say it in the church, say it in the streets, say it in the roads and in the public squares. If it is possible for you, go through the streets praying and singing the rosary with the people and finish in the church by giving benediction with the Blessed Sacrament." So, my dear faithful, the devil wants to make us think that he does not exist, that there is no battle against him, and that there is no need to make any effort to get to heaven. But, on the contrary, hell is real, heaven is real, the devil is real, and we have to work hard to get to heaven or we will perish forever. For our opponent, our real enemy who really exists, is much more powerful than we are. But the good news is that we've got all the strength that we need. We've got all the help, all the resources that we need if we only make use of them. God sent the general of his armies down to this earth to inform us of a particular weapon that we have to use in these times to do battle against the devil. His general is Our Lady, the weapon is the rosary. And if I may say, the Society of St. Pius X recognizes this as being the plan of God. The members of the society have to pray the rosary every single day in community. The brothers have to pray the 15 decades of the rosary every day. And because the leadership of the society sees clearly that God wants Our Lady to intervene in order to fix this crisis in the church, they have asked for, again and again, for rosary crusades, encouraging people to pray as many rosaries as they can. And let me just say that we must have a great desire to be instruments of Our Lady in this fight. We must desire the defeat of the devil as much as she desires it in a proportionate way to her desire. In order to gain many souls for Our Lady, we must want her heart to triumph, for her to crush the devil underfoot and to return a supernatural spirit to this disoriented world. And so, my dear faithful, please, during this crusade, take up your rosaries. Do battle with the devil against it in your hands. And remember these words of Sister Lucy, because it's very important that you have a great confidence in the rosary. Remember always these words. "There is no problem, I tell you, no problem, no matter how difficult it is, that cannot be solved by the Holy Rosary." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.